Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day everybody, welcome to the, Monday edition of Fantasy Overtime post-game show. It's the 3rd of January. My dates are always a bit slow, I need to double check because my date's different for most of you. Let's get into the game, quite a few tonight. What did we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games. Still a couple going. I think the Wolves game is almost done. Yeah, 4 minutes left there, and the Hawks game just wrapped up, so we'll be able to talk about that one. So first game, Sixers got over the Rockets. Rockets kept it pretty close for at least half the game, but this one was never really in doubt. For the Rockets, so we had, of course, we had Kevin Porter and Christian Wood out suspended tonight, so Garrison Matthews stepped back in and had 23 points. We saw him do this, a month ago, when they had players in the protocols. He's fine to stream in on nights like this, but there's no long-term value there unless something else happens with Kevin Porter. But at the moment we're hearing it's just a one-game suspension, so probably just a one-night sort of stream, but just keep an eye on what's going on in Houston. Daniel Tice started again, didn't do much. He can have some back-end 12-team value as long as Wood is out. He had 34 minutes here, so that's going to generally be enough playing time for him to have some value. Kenyon Martin, probably a bit disappointing here, only 26 minutes, but 11 and 8 with 3 assists. No defensive stats, but he's a name to probably pick up and just hold until we know what's happening, and we're hoping long-term he gets some more minutes there. Eric Gordon was back. Look, he's fine to have on a 12-team roster. Not much upside, but has been getting some steals this year and some assists, as well as generally getting your double-digit scoring, so there's some value there. For the Sixers, Embiid, he dominated, not surprisingly, the third triple-double of his career, I believe. 31, 15, and 10 with a steal, 2 blocks, which would probably be the line of the night if it wasn't for Trae Young. We'll get to him later. Furkan and Korkmaz, he started 24 and 11. More than likely, this is going to be his best game of the season. If you want to pick him up and stream him in, while they've got Thybulle and Tyrese Maxey out, go ahead. But yeah, he's really more of just a points guy than anything else. Tobias Harris was pretty quiet in this one. Seth Curry had 15 points. He's a back-end sort of top 120 player, and he's okay to have in 12-team leagues. And beyond them, Drummond, 8 and 7 with some defensive stats in 17 minutes, but I don't see him as a must roster player, although he probably is rostered in most leagues just for his ability to get rebounds and defensive stats in limited minutes. Next game of the night, the Wizards got home over the Hornets. Pretty close one here. For the Hornets, Miles Bridges, his best game in quite a while. 23 and 14, 4 assists, 4 steals, a block, 10 of 19 from the field. This is what he was doing in the first month, and then he cooled off a bit. He's not going to be this good every night, but it is good to see him putting up these numbers after only just returning, he's 2 games back now from the protocol, so he looks good to go. Gordon Hayward bounced back with another solid game. Terry Rozier, 25 points, 3 steals. He's looked a bit better as well of late. Kelly Oubre, because I didn't watch a whole lot of this game, I'm not sure whether he just was crap and he played him 12 minutes. He's trending down a little bit, which, to be honest, he was probably overperforming. over the last month, 6 weeks, even over the whole season, really. We weren't sure where he would fit long term. I'm probably still holding him because, we know he does this. He'll go through cold stretches and then he'll come out and have a few 20-point games in a row. So I'd be holding him, but don't expect him to get back to the numbers he was putting up 3-4 weeks ago. Not much else. Cody Martin, much the same. He's more of a 14-team guy, really. Not much upside when they're relatively healthy. For the Wizards, another really good Kyle Kuzma game. I'll give him his credit. I don't think he's that good a player, but 36 and 14 in 41 minutes. If there's ever a sell-high moment for him, this is it. I'm still not convinced that he's this player. If you want to hold on to him, he's playing really well. So by all means, go ahead and do that. Denny Avdija, he moved into the starting lineup. Only 7 points on 1 of 7 shooting, but 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 steals. If he hits, 3 or 4 shots in this game, he ends up with 13, 14, 15 points, 8 assists. I don't know if he's going to start moving forward. We don't know. And they have got a few guys to come back, but... I've sort of talked about him. I don't mind him as a 12-team guy the rest of the way, and I think he has some defensive upside, which we saw in this game as well. Strong game from Gafford, 15-11 with 3 blocks. Beal looking much better, 35, 8 and 7. So hopefully this is what he's going to be the rest of the way. And then not much else for them. Davis Bertans can have some streaming value, but once Montrezl Harrell's back, he probably falls out of the picture there. Next game, Grizzlies upset the Nets. And pretty convincingly, actually. They sort of just got an early lead and held on. Nets really couldn't close the gap. Jaren Jackson, offensively a really bad game for him, 2 of 12 from the field. Did have 3 blocks and a steal, so that sort of salvaged his night. But offense has been a bit of an issue for him lately, so probably a bit of a buy-low moment if you are interested in getting him onto your team. 12 rebounds for Steven Adams. He's okay on a 12-team roster, but more of a streamer for me. Desmond Bane, another really good game. Don't need to talk about him too much. Or Ja Morant, he was really good. Brandon Clark had 16 and 7 in 25 minutes with Kyle Anderson out. He's probably worth a look in 12-team leagues. Didn't get any defensive stats here, but normally will get you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A steal or a block or one of each. And Jarrett Culver, 30 points off the bench, which was odd and weird, but here we are. 12 points, 3 rebounds, 3 steals. I don't see this sticking at all, but if you want to take a chance on him until they get their guys back, by all means, go ahead and do that. But yeah, I don't see anything long-term here based on what we've seen throughout his career. For the Nets, Patty Mills, 0-6, just couldn't get anything going here. We're holding him, obviously, but as they get their guys back on the court, he is going to, as I talked about, go back to being more of a streamer, although it does sound like Joe Harris is still quite a way away, so that helps Patty Mills. But Kyrie Irving will play on Wednesday, so and you would assume that he will start. Patty Mills will probably go to the bench there. Although, we may see DeAndre Bembry. It'll depend on the matchup. Kevin Durant, he was fine with no LaMarcus Aldridge. Nick Claxton started, had 11, only 3 rebounds, which was a little disappointing, but did have. His defensive stats there, 2 steals and a block, and shot efficiently. So he's a 12-team player. And then you've got your bench guys there. Bruce Brown, this is what he does. This is why he is a name to at least keep an eye on. 10 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks, 2 steals. He can put up numbers like this, but hasn't been doing it. So, I mean, only 23 minutes. The playing time's not super encouraging, but if you want to grab him and just see if he can do it again, but I wouldn't be running out to grab him. Bulls got over the Magic in the next game. For the Magic, Mo Bamba, only 23 minutes. He's working his way back, so he's going to improve, but it will be slow. It might be an opportunity to throw out a buy low offer if his manager is just a bit frustrated with him at the moment. Franz Wagner, he bounced back after a not so great game last out in his last up game. Gary Harris, 19 points on 7 of 16 shooting, 2 steals. He 12 team guy, we know that for now. Tim Frazier, just an assist streamer or a deep league guy, but at least they gave more minutes here to RJ Hampton over Tim Frazier. That's who they should be trying to develop. If Hampton's going to get 32 minutes, he's a name to watch. Terrence Ross, 15 points, couldn't repeat from his last game. Only 5 of 17 shooting. He's more of just a points streamer. For the Bulls, Lonzo Ball was back. Pretty bad night for him. The 3 steals and 7 assists are good, but only 1 of 8 from the floor. Look, he'll be better. He's just missed time here, so he needs a few games to get going. Derek Jones started again. He's not a 12-team name. Kobe White, 35 minutes, 17 points. Just a streamer now. Caruso could be back this week, so that'll impact Kobe White even more, and not much else for the Bulls. Oh, here we go. Pistons over the Bucks. I had to double-check this one when I was checking them during the day. I don't think anyone was expecting the Pistons to get over the Bucks, who were, I mean, they weren't full strength, but they were pretty much full strength. They didn't have DiVincenzo. Lopez is out, obviously, and Jordan Nwora, but other than that, they were full strength, so good win for the Pistons. Sadiq Bey, he went off, career high 34 points. Hamidou Diallo couldn't do what he had been doing, but 11 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal. Until Jeremy Grant's back, if Jeremy Grant comes back, which I think he will. That's probably me over-exaggerating. Diallo is a 12-team guy, I think, at the moment. Free throw percentage is a bit of an issue, 1 of 3 here, so the low volume helps. And he was 8 of 9 in the last game, so that's probably the main concern here is his free throw percentage. But if you can look past that, I think he has value. Cade Cunningham was back, and he was fine. All these guys are going to need a couple of games to get back up to speed, but he was still pretty good. Trey Lyles started. Once Isaiah Stewart's back, he'll go back to being more of an 18-minute a night player. Killian Hayes, if you got him, it's just for assists and steals. He had 4 assists and a steal here, but he's really not a 12-team. 12-team name. Luka Garza, back to 15 minutes. He can be dropped. Josh Jackson, 20 minutes off the bench. He had 24 points. Look, if you want to stream him in, fine, but he shot 70% here. He's not going to do that, perhaps, again, all season. If you want to take a bit of a flyer, go ahead. For the Bucks, Giannis was fine. Middleton was back. He wasn't too good here, but it's just an off night, and he was coming off a missed game as well. Grayson Allen, I mean, you streamed him in while he was hot. Now he's not, so you drop him. Pat Connaughton's a drop if you had picked him up after the last game, and no one else. I mean, for the Bucks, it's really Middleton, Giannis, Portis, Drew Holiday are your 12-team guys, and beyond them, nothing. Don't really need to talk about anyone. Talking about no one, Utah. There's nothing here that we don't already know. Nothing changes for the Jazz. Jordan Clarkson, 14 points. We've got Bogdanović, Gobert, Mitchell, Conley. They're your 12-team players, 12-team league players. Clarkson, fringy streamer at best, I think. For the Pels, we did have Ingram back. And I left him out of my weekly lock league because word didn't come out that he was playing until after our lock time. I was a little annoyed, but maybe not too annoyed after this. Seven assists is nice, but 3 of 18 from the field is dreadful. He'll be better, but I think they are on a back-to-back, so just keep an eye on whether he actually plays tomorrow. Herbert Jones' minutes were down here with Ingram back, with Hart playing big minutes, but he still had 4 steals and a block, so probably still a 12-team hold, but not going to be as good as he was, obviously, in the last game, but still has that defensive upside. Little bit like Matisse Thybul, but with a bit more offense. So that's a way of phrasing it. Valanciunas was better in this one. It's a nice sight for managers. Josh Hart, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, a block. He's been really good. Devontae Graham, 11 points, 4 assists. Look, he's probably trending towards a drop as well if you are holding on to him. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, much the same. I think him and Graham sort of just cancel each other out, really. I don't see either of them as must-hold players, but they're both are okay on a 12-team roster. Mavericks got over the Nuggets. Open up, there we go. Jokic, really good game. Kompatso, look, he cooled off here. 33 minutes, though. 5 assists and a block, no steals. So way down from his last game, which was always going to happen. We're still holding him, though, at least until Monty Morris is back and perhaps even beyond that. Aaron Gordon, he's still fine to be holding. Will Barton, not his best game. We're holding him as well, though. There was some interesting news this morning out of Denver in regards to Michael Porter Jr. So still no word on when or if or when he will come back this season. But he was seen shooting around. The talk coming out of Denver is that he feels good and the surgery obviously was really successful. I don't know if I'd call him a stash yet. But if you do have, if you're in a league that has multiple IR spots or you're sitting at the top of your standings and you can afford to have some injured guys actually playing, maybe you pick up Michael Porter just in case we get word over the next week or two that he's targeting a comeback at some point. Obviously, when he does come back, they're going to ramp him up. So he's not going to be putting up sort of your top 30, top 40 numbers, but if you get into your fantasy playoffs and he's playing 28 minutes a game, he could be a difference maker. So, yeah, something to consider there. For Dallas, no Porzingis in this one. Doncic looked a bit better than his last game, 21 and 15 with 8 rebounds, 4 steals. That's not going to happen again anytime soon. Jalen Brunson, he obviously takes a hit when Doncic is playing big minutes, but still good production. 13, 3, and 4 with 2 steals, and 4 of 14, so he'll normally be more efficient than this. So not a terrible game for Brunson. Dwight Powell, as I've said, he and Kleber both were okay in this one, but with Porzingis back, then their minutes get cut or get trimmed. And Dorian Finney-Smith, only 18 minutes here, but he had 5 fouls. He had 4 fouls in about the first 7 minutes or something, so nothing to worry about here for Finney-Smith. Hardaway, I've said he's more of a streamer or a fringy 12-team guy, and he showed that here, 6 points in 22 minutes. Reggie Bullock, just a streamer as well. And Marquise Chris, we're keeping an eye on him. I'm not sure where his role ends up, but he did play 16 minutes, and he's playing over some of those other guys like Moses Brown. And that's it for the Mavericks. Warriors got up over the Heat. Jimmy Butler went down with an ankle injury again. It's the same ankle, so I wouldn't be surprised if he misses time here. If he does, Caleb Martin, who was really good in this one, he becomes a must-add player. And then probably, I mean, if looking at their other, I guess, other fringe players, no one else who's really playing at the moment. I wouldn't be running to grab them, those who aren't rostered anyway. But if guys like Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, when they come out of protocols, they might have some added value if Butler does miss time. Omer Yurtseven, 17 rebounds, only 5 points, but the rebounds are nice. 2 steals, no blocks again, but the steal numbers are nice. Tyler Herro started, 18 points, looks pretty good. 4 assists, that's okay. 7 of 23 from the field is not. So, as I've said, I like him coming off the bench. But while they've got all these guys out now with Butler going out, he's probably going to stick in the starting lineup. Still, obviously, a 12-team hold, but yeah, I just think his efficiency takes a hit when he's starting. For the Warriors, Draymond Green was back. Only 5 points, but 8 rebounds, 13 assists, 4 blocks, 1 steal. He's been doing this all season. He looked good. Gary Payton started again and had 4 steals in 30 minutes. He's more of a streamer, I think. Jordan Poole played 26 minutes off the bench, but had 32 points with 5 assists. We have heard that Klay Thompson may be debuting this weekend. So as I talked about in the last show, I actually wouldn't be surprised if they leave Payton in the starting lineup for the rest of the week, because Jordan Poole is going to be their sixth man. So why not get him used to that role now? And then when Klay comes back and moves into the starting lineup, Poole is already sort of acclimatized, if you will, to that role. So, yeah, I'm not saying that will happen. Poole could move back into the starting lineup for a couple of games, but if he doesn't, don't worry too much. Otto Porter, he scaled back here, which we thought was going to happen. He's fine to just add when he's starting in 12-team leagues. When all is said and done and we're sort of looking at stats at the end of the week, the end of the month, he's probably a top 150-ish player, top 120. So he's fine to hold on to if you want to, but it is going to be up and down. Second last game, so I touched briefly on this one for the Hawks. Trae Young, pretty incredible night for him. 56 points, 14 assists, 15 of 15 from the line. Not much to say. This was really nice. Kevin Huerter was back, 18 points. He probably has some 12-team value now. 37 minutes is encouraging. Danilo Gallinari, 35 minutes. 11 rebounds, that doesn't happen all too often. 7 points, but only shot 3 of 14. He could have some streaming value as well. DeLon Wright does not have streaming value, I don't think, with Trey. I mean, he did play 32 minutes, but yeah, just from what we've seen this season, when Trey's there, I don't think he has much value. Capella, 22. And 11, no defensive stats, but 10 of 10 from the field is going to be a really nice boost for your field goal percentage. For the Blazers, Anthony Simons, he went off, 43 points, 7 assists. With no Lillard there, obviously, this he gets the big boost there. I wouldn't buy too much into it. If you want to stream him in, that's fine. He's been pretty up and down this season, though, so he had 9 triples. He could come out in the next game and sort of hit 2 triples and go for 12 points with 3 assists and a rebound or something. So if Lillard's out, Simons, you need to be adding him. But if Lillard is back, then he probably can be dropped or just hold on for one more game to see what happens. Larry Nance, the minutes were good, 35 minutes, only 2 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a block. So not his best night, but if he's getting minutes like this, Nurkic was back, Covington was back. So, yeah, he's not, once Lillard comes back, that impacts him, but I think he's still a pretty firm hold. Norm Powell, one of his better games, 26 points, 4 steals, shot 9 of 13 from the field. He's looking fine. Nasir Little, he was really good, then he sucked, and then he was pretty good again tonight, 22 and 9. Again, when Lillard's back, takes a hit. A lot of these guys do. So stream him in if you'd like. But don't count on production like this all too often. Covington, 24 minutes, 4 points, did have four steals. He's a 12-team player, 12-team guy, but, yeah, I mean, it's not... He's not where we wanted him to be, but he will still get you those defensive numbers, so that's why you're rostering him. I would be holding for now. And last game of the night, which has wrapped up, Wolves got over the Clippers pretty comfortably. Anthony Edwards looked a lot better in this one. 28 points on 11 of 17 shooting. Got a steal and a block, so he'll be fine. Jared Vanderbilt. Serviceable. 8 points, 9 rebounds, a steal. 4 of 7 from the field. If you've got him, as I talked about yesterday, I think they played yesterday, you've got him for rebounds, defensive stats, and efficient scoring. And he did that. Some more defensive stats would have been nice, but this was fine. Pat Beverley, sneaky little double-double here, 11 and 12 with two steals, 3 of 10 shooting. He's normally better than that. Only 21 minutes, but the minutes were down for a few of these guys because it was a pretty comfortable win. Jaden McDaniels, 18 points in 29 minutes. I wouldn't get too excited about this. And Taurean Prince, much the same, 17 points in 23 minutes. Don't go adding him. For the Clippers, it's not pretty reading, to be honest. Serge Ibaka is probably the name here that stands out. 17 points in 20 minutes. Look, he had a block, he had four rebounds. It looks good on the surface, but he shot 7 of 7 from the field. That's not going to happen every night. He only played 20 minutes, even without... If it's a Zubats and Hartenstein. So, yeah, I'm not running to grab a Barker after this one. And Bledsoe, who we had talked about as a streaming option with Kennard out and with Paul George out, he had 1 point in 22 minutes. So if you did pick him up, I'd probably be holding. He'll be better than this. It was just a bad night for the Clippers. Reggie Jackson had 5 points. Justice Winslow had 15 points. That's how bad a night it was. Xavier Moon had 13 points. James Ennis had 10 points. So, yeah, look, don't go reading into this all too much. If we go into the questions... I'll scrolling up. Okay, so we had a few. I'll start at the top. So we had a question from yesterday, which I did answer, but I can touch on it again. And this was to do with trading Lowry for Mobley. The short answer was yes, I would trade Lowry for Mobley. I think Mobley's a top 40 player this year, the rest of the way. I think Lowry's probably top 60, top 70. Although without Butler, Lowry does get a bump because his assist numbers will go up. They'll need him to do more scoring. So long term, I would still take Mobley here. And talked about the benefits of punting. How many categories do you punt? And I sort of mentioned that in terms of punting, I can talk about punting all night, but in terms of how many categories to punt, I'm okay with punting 2, I'm okay with punting 3, I'm okay with punting 4. It really depends on how you to punt 4, you need to do the punt really well. But I did talk about the fact that even over the last few weeks where I've had maybe 4 or 5 guys out, I think there was a team last week where I had 6 of my 10 were out, but I still managed to win the week 6-3 because I had punted quite well in that league. I only needed 4 healthy players that week to win my categories, my stronger categories. Obviously, that's not going to work all the time, but that was just an example. So the benefits for me are that you can be even better in certain categories, but it does reduce your margin for error. So it means that if you do lose a couple of big names, you don't have as much to fall back on. You're not going to sort of luck into a category as such. So that can be the issue. So I guess maybe going... sort of a happy medium. So if it's a 9 category, you punt 2, maybe 3, rather than going 4. But I think in punting 1 category, might as well punt two. I don't see a huge difference there. And I also like the idea of narrowing your punt as you get closer towards the playoffs and that sort of thing. So we're midway through, a bit past that now. I'm okay with, if you were punting two categories, maybe you start looking at punting three now. Have a look at your standings, see where you sit. Where are you? Are you sort of in the middle in rebounds, for instance, and it's, you could punt that and then strengthen a couple of other categories. So something to definitely consider. What's the thought on Kyrie for this week in head-to-head? Well, look, I mean, he's only got one game, so I probably wouldn't, if it's a weekly lock league, I wouldn't be playing him. I mean, it's too late now because we're past the lock time, but he's only got one game this week because they only have one away game, or road game. So for, in terms of rest of season, look, I mean, if he's probably not on any waiver wires, so if you have him, you have him. You're not going to be able to go and get him unless you're trading. But whoever does have him is probably going to be looking for top 50 player. I'm not sure he gets there. I mean, you'd have to have a look at his schedule, but I didn't draft him anywhere, and I'm not sad about it. That's I guess, where I'm up to. Just because unless he gets vaccinated, I don't think Brooklyn, New York or anything change their vaccination mandates. So I don't think he's going to be all of a sudden going to be able to play in those home games. So, yeah, look, I don't see per game top 10, top 15, absolutely. But if he's only playing one or two games a week compared to four, it's pretty hard to see him as a top 20, top 30 player. Anthony Simons, I talked about him. Stream him in while Lillard's out, but as we've seen, when they've got all their guys back, he's just a three-point streamer at best. Herb Jones, defensive streamer. I'd have him over guys like Matisse Thybulle because I think his minutes are more guaranteed, and he does give you a little more on the offensive end as well. Max Strus, I said, with Butler going down, when he comes back, he had some value before going down. So, Keith's put in there as well. Do we go Max Strus or Gabe Vincent with the Jimmy Butler news? I would probably go Strus over Vincent. I think Vincent's more of sort of he'll get you your assists and that sort of thing. But they've got Lowry there. They've got Tyler Herro there. So Strus, but I mean, you need to keep an eye on the protocols and see who comes back first, because Duncan Robinson will come back in as well. Gary Harrison add, yes, he is at the moment. Rayshon Tate, Nasir Little. Tate's okay. I think as a 12-team guy the rest of the way. The Christian Wood news, if he's only out, he was out today, if he's only misses one game, then Tate will take a bit of a hit, but I think Tate has some value the rest of the way. I'd have Tate over Little if I had to pick one of those two. Little is okay to you add him. If he's good, you hold on to him. If he's not, you drop him. I don't think he's a name that you're going to, if you do drop him, you're not going to regret it. Sort of think a week or 2 weeks later, think, oh man, I shouldn't have dropped him. He's a difference maker, because he's not, I don't think. What rank of player should I offer for Bumba? Look, it's hard to know. I think in terms of, like, once he's up and going, where does he end the season? I think he probably finishes as sort of a top 80 player. But his stat set is very specific. So a lot of his value comes from blocks, obviously. He's sort of a top five shot block, top five in the league in block shots. So, and he is notoriously slow at coming back from absences like this. And he is coming off an ankle injury as well. I think we have to remember that he sprained his ankle prior to going into the protocols. So he's not only coming back from COVID, but during that time, he may not have been able to get out on the court because of his ankle as well. So if you're looking at I guess, a name to throw out in a trade, it depends if you're looking at throwing a centre out or just throwing a player. But I would probably be... I don't think whoever's got him, I don't think they're going to give him up for anything less than a top 100 player, someone who's playing really well at the moment. So, yeah, I think you're probably going to have to give up a top 100 player to get him. But if you need blocks, he can be a difference maker because he can get two blocks a game. And so 7-8 blocks in a week is a big deal. So if you've got a guy on your roster who is a top 80, top 90 player, he's giving you some stats that you don't necessarily need or that you're pretty comfortable in, then I'd be okay past sort of moving on from them to get Bumba to help you in that blocks category. KJ Martin, what stats do you rely on him for? Is he only worth a look whilst these guys are out in Houston? Yeah, look, I like him. I don't mind him long term. I think at the moment he's probably just, you just pick him up and see what happens. He's a fringe, probably 12-team guy at the moment. Once they're fully healthy, we would need them to sort of change their thinking and start giving him more minutes. But, yeah, rest of season, I would say he's probably a top 150 player in terms of what you can rely on him for. So what stats is he going to give you? He's sort of across the board, so he's not going to give you anything specific where, like, he's not going to be really good in rebounds or really good in points. He's pretty efficient. That's probably his most stable category, is that he normally is pretty efficient from the field. He'll get you like 5 rebounds. He'll get you maybe a steal, maybe a block. So, yeah, I think he's close to sort of a triple one guy if he can get his minutes up to 30 minutes. But outside of that, he's more of a sort of pick him up, stash him, see what happens. So I don't think you can rely on him to be a high source. Is it for... question. Thanks guys for listening. Tomorrow will be similar sort of time. I'm working for from home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.